So there wouldn't be a annual Record Store Day if not for the ramp up of record production. And so, Sean, what does it take in 2016 to make a record at your operation?
Well, we need to make sure we've got great music. The artist to make the music and to get it pressed, get it mastered, and then they take it somewhere to be a lacquer to be cut, which is the first step of the vinyl process. From that lacquer, masters and mothers are made. A mother is the is the piece that makes all the stampers, which are a reverse image of the record.
And analogous to what many suppose Cuba has been like without the infiltration of commerce from the U.S. and the dilapidated cars and such, is anybody making new equipment to make new records, or are they all borrowed and used componentry?
There are some new presses being made currently. I think they're being made out of Germany. From what I can see, it's a lot of the same technology that the current record presses have. It's just with all newer parts and a little bit more automation.
Independent opened last year, 2015.
Yes, we got into the building in the end of February 2015.
When we came into this building, the only thing that you see that was here are the lights and the fans and the walls. There were no power outlets. So we built the walls, we painted. I literally painted walls.
We did the build out of the facility, got all the permits and everything, and started production in August, September, in terms of turning on the presses, running some light production, and really started ramping up in, you know, October, November, December.
So the resurgent interest in vinyl was well underway, but in your limited time, is that interest continuing to expand?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started a year ago, 1,500 units would be a pretty regular order. I see those 1,500 units are now 3,000 units. So you can already see, just even in the short period of time we've been open, just the growth is already happening.
So Sean, here we are at this big container of vinyl pellets, as it were. How does it go from that to a finished product?
The pellets are then dropped into what's called an extruder, and what that does is heats the pellets up to, say, a toothpaste-like consistency. It gets squirted into a cup, which is about the shape of a hockey puck, or that we call a biscuit.
There's two stampers that have the image of the record on it.
A side, B side?
Yep, squashed with a label on it. The label's already put on it. And then it's squashed like a big waffle iron.
The rough edges get trimmed off, and then it's, you know, ready to play.
That reverse image that stamps it, can you use that an unlimited number of times, or does that have a life?
It has a life, usually, and it varies. Sometimes you will blow a stamper on, you know, a few hundred records and have to get a new one. But usually, try not to do more than, can't get much more than 1,000 records per stamper.
What are some of the other variables that affect batting average, as it were, and out of 100 records, how many are good to go?
I mean, it really is going to depend. A lot of it is the quality of the compound that we get, if there's any impurities in the compound, the temperature outside, if it's humid, or the temperature inside, the quality of the steam that we're getting, if it's heating evenly, the quality of the stampers themselves.
This is starting to sound analogous to a craft brewery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really is. It's funny, when we first started, we got a lot of people who are applying. A lot of people come in thinking if they've run a machine, they can run this. But it's really much different. It's not just walking in front of a machine, pressing a button, and sort of just keeping an eye on it or making a few adjustments. There's a lot of moving around with the presses.
And so it's truly in part a craft or an art.
It really is. I mean, especially with these older machines, stuff always can go wrong with them. Stuff can always happen.
What that does is, whoa.
Back up. We were talking about variables in the vinyl. What's virgin vinyl?
Virgin vinyl would be vinyl that hasn't been pressed before. Reground vinyl is a vinyl that would have been, you know, an old record that the label's popped out and it's just ground up and then reused.
Is there a difference?
It varies. We pretty much use mostly virgin vinyl right now. But there's also sometimes on certain records, and the way a record is cut, sometimes actually using a regrind helps make the record sound better because it just will press easier.
Another marketing enticement I've seen is, what is it, 180 gram vinyl? What's the advantage of that versus something that has a different weight?
I think right now vinyl is such a tactile experience that having a 180 gram in your hands versus a 130 or 140, you can feel a difference. It's a media record.
To what extent does that tactile experience inform this entire resurgence and love of vinyl from, say, just getting a download?
In the last 100 years or so, music has been, you know, both a physical and an emotional experience. And over the last few years, with the convenience of download, which is great, or streaming, you've really lost that physical, tactile part of the music experience. And I think with vinyl now, digital has really been the best thing for the resurgence of vinyl.
How so?
Well, just because digital takes out the tactile thing, people realize if they're really emotionally connected to music, they want a piece of that somehow. They want to experience it.
Is there any concern that this is a bubble that could burst in the next year or five?
Well, I think that really is going to depend on how the industry itself views vinyl. I believe that the appeal of vinyl is the boutique part of it. And I think if there's a urge to make it more of a mass-produced item, I think that could sort of take away, it could help burst that bubble, because then it becomes purely a profit margin.
Who are some of the artists that you work with, and how do they substantiate a desire to have their product come out in part on vinyl?
Mainly what we're pressing here is a pretty wide range. I call it the Brooklyn hipster to the Warped Tour stuff. But really, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, I'm looking at Mavis Staples, you know, quintessential gospel artist.
Sometimes life can get you in a hurry, but...
Prism Tats, which is more electronic dance. Mac DeMarco, that's an independent artist.
Mommy's in the kitchen, cooking up something good.
I believe that the vinyl is the single most important audio piece in the marketplace for a lot of these artists. Meaning, if there's a little tick in a vinyl or it doesn't sound the way that they feel their customer wants, or that, you know, if a record gets out into the marketplace with without a download card, we're going to hear about it. If you go to stream something and it buffers, you just kind of deal with it and move on. People don't do that with vinyl. You know, with social media and things like that, if there's any sort of something wrong with our vinyl, we're going to hear about it immediately.
You're relatively new. What are your goals or plans for, say, fiscal 2017?
Our goal is, and I tell the staff this every single day, is just to continue making something a little bit better than the day before. Improving the process, improving efficiency, making a better sounding record, making a better feeling record, making a better looking record. I think there's plenty of opportunities every day to be better than the previous day. We just really, right now, want to focus on just making good, basic vinyl.
Well, Sean, thank you for your time.
I appreciate you guys coming by.